tonight, turn down the noise of the day and focus on the rest with AGZ, the nightly drink for winding down and resting up. New from AG1. AGZ supports your body's natural sleep cycle with clinically studied key herbs, adaptogens, and minerals in amounts supported by research. And no melatonin, helping you wake feeling rested. Wind down, rest up with AGZ. Learn more at drinkagz.com.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
The kick is away. It's blocked. It's picked up by the Eagles. Touchdown. Game over.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
This is a 43-yard field goal try to give Green Bay the lead.
It is blocked.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests: Academy Award-nominated actor Ethan Hawke. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. We're also on Sirius XM Channel 80. Phone lines are lit. We appreciate all that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Just had a delightful chat. It's going to be a great conversation when Ethan Hawke comes out here. Yeah, I just had a nice chat with him in the green room. TJ, he's a Cowboy fan by at youth.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But as an adult, not anymore. It'll be an interesting conversation.
Ethan and I need to chop it up a little bit about this.
He's called a tease.
He signed the certificate.
I guess. Yeah, I have to talk to him. Bring him back home.
I think that drop. You can play one more time right here because we've had this forever.
Boom.
From Training Day.
It was
a boom moment for him as a Cowboy fan. Maybe we'll play that once he actually comes out here
Ethan
and he tells
and I
the
need
story.
To commiserate a little bit.
I don't think he wants to commit. Well, I think. Again, I won't tell anymore, but who he's a fan of right now, he will commiserate with you, that's for sure.
As
he's
long on, it's not the Eagles.
The Lowdown. FX is The Lowdown, premieres tomorrow, 9 Eastern time, and it streams the next day on Hulu.
Hulu.
He's also in The Black Phone 2 that's in theaters on October 17th, a horror sequel to the hit film of 2021.
That movie freaked me out, by the way.
And we also have really great celebrity True or False.
Yeah.
Coming up with him. It's going to be awesome. When Ethan Hawke joins us in studio, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a 3-0 team here in Los Angeles, California. And the last time the Chargers were 3-0, the people of San Diego, California got to see it up close and personal.
San Diego.
Superchargers.
2002.
Oof.
When Breeze was handing off to LaDainian Tomlinson. That's the last time they started 3-0. They finished 8-8, didn't make the playoffs. I can pretty much say that's not happening this time around. Because the Los Angeles Chargers are 100% soul-stealing individuals right now. They are in the Harbaugh mold right now with a quarterback. Christopher in the Overreaction Monday podcast that we recorded before today's flagship show.
Yes, sir.
And it's available wherever you get your podcasts and also on the Rich Eisen Show YouTube channel.
Do it.
You threw out here that Justin Herbert is your currently leading candidate for most valuable player, and I didn't offer much pushback.
I don't know how you could.
Well, I mean, there's Mayfield, there's Josh Allen. You got to look at 3-0 teams. We'll see what Lamar looks like tonight. Goff could be in the mix at some point. Justin Herbert, man. Game on the line. The Broncos were hitting this team in the mouth. You know, and Herbert, 8 of 9 for 93 passing yards on the last two drives, including a game-tying touchdown pass to Keenan Allen. That was an absolute dart dot, however you want to put it. Dime, dart, dot, whatever D you want to throw out there. And then he led the team to a game-winning Dicker the Kicker field goal. He's awesome. 300 yards on the dot, on the nose, as a matter of fact. And the defense. Holy crap, this defense. I keep saying this to you. I'm going to do this. I keep threatening. Top five players, there's, you feel like there's two of them on the field.
Okay.
Number one might just be Derwin James. He's incredible.
Yep.
He had a sack yesterday also. This kid Henley, that the number zero in your program, number one in your heart, there's like two of them out there as well. They're doing this without Khalil Mack. They are coming for you. And this is why I'm saying also that they're not going to miss the playoffs here, or they're going to fall apart. You know, obviously injuries can happen, heaven forbid. Mm-hmm. But do you have the AFC West standings? There they are. They're 3-0. And their three wins are against everybody else on the screen.
Oh, man.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Yep. They beat the Chiefs on a Friday. They beat the Raiders on a Monday. And they beat the Broncos on a Sunday. So they've done it in three different places. They've done it in the Northern Hemisphere. They've done it in the Southern Hemisphere. It's like a Dr. Seuss rhyme. We will beat you with our defense. We will beat you with our offense. We will beat you with Dicker the Kicker, which rhymes with a lot. Just stop.
I'm glad you did.
Yes, you know, so they beat the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chiefs. They're all 1-2. The Chargers are 3-0. And yes, you could see in the games back column for our radio audience, I'll describe it to you. The number two is in each one. You can add a half because they're already up one win against them. And they got the Giants next. They're going to go to New Jersey. Listen, anything can happen. We just saw that with the Packers at the Browns. But come on now. Come on now. This is exactly what the Chargers would have signed for. They started with all three teams in their division, had to go to Brazil to beat the Chiefs, go to Vegas to beat the Raiders, and stay at home to beat the Broncos in a comeback manner. And they got a coach, too, can coach it up. Jesse Minter defensively, for sure. And Jim, his secret sauce, man. 2002, the last time they were 3-0, the Chargers, was the last time Jim Harbaugh was 3-0 in the NFL when he was the quarterback coach for the Oakland Raiders. He hasn't been 3-0 himself. Not even in San Francisco. Those Raiders started 4-0 and made the Super Bowl. Okay. How's Jim feeling about his quarterback, Justin Herbert? We know he came here, right? Didn't he come here? He sat here during the summer. Mm-hmm. It was here where he said he woke up in the middle of the night. Said, middle of the night. I got to get this guy to the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm.
How do I get Justin Herbert to the Hall of Fame?
I mean, it was a Harbaugh file right here in person. And at the podium after this game, he was sky high. I'm sure he did the who's better than us, telling everybody this is an enthusiasm unknown to mankind or a common man or whatever. And then he strolls to the podium and gives us the latest Harbaugh file. Hit it.
Sometimes people that are standing on third base think they hit a triple, but they didn't.
The Harbaugh Files.
I don't think I had the vocabulary to really express how great I feel with this win and just admiration for our team and for our players. I mean, gritty. spectacular. That's about the best word I can come up with to describe it. I'm just great thrill of winning, wonderful feeling of victory, great thrill of victory. Yeah, that's about all I got. It's just so much good and Cam Dicker, cold-blooded. There's another phrase that comes to my mind. Great. Wish I had a better vocabulary.
The Harbaugh Files.
Chargers haven't won the AFC West since 2009. That's a 15-season drought, longest in the history of the team. Fifth longest active division title drought in the NFL. And they're off to a great start, man. Oof. A great start. Najee Harris going down with an Achilles is not good. But O'Marion Hampton, the necessity is the mother of what, invention?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When Najee went down, they're like, okay, this whole business of let's ease in our rookie running back went out the window. 25 touches, 129 scrimmage yards, and one rushing touchdown, first of his career, after 26 touches in the first 2 weeks combined. So there we go. It's now O'Marion Hampton with an MVP quarterback. And last year it was Ladidi and Quentin Johnston with Stonehands and fill in a blank. And now it's Quentin Johnston making big time plays with Keenan Allen and Ladidi and O'Marion Hampton. Okay, got it. The offensive line might be a little bit of a concern as well, but everybody's got concerns. Well done, Chargers, first 3 weeks. And then, listen, the Broncos are 1-2. If I'm a Bronco fan, you're concerned. They had only 9 first downs on offense on Sunday. That's it. And but you could be, you're I mean, are they the winners of the first 3 weeks of the could have been 3-0 trophy? Right? If there are finalists, we could be 3-0. I think the Broncos are the clubhouse leaders. There's no banners for that. But, you know, it hasn't looked smooth on offense. Just hasn't. But they came damn close. No leverage penalty in Indianapolis. They're 2-0, and they watched it slip away here. They had a great chance to beat the Chargers.
You worried about Bo Nix?
No. It's just slow. Again, he started slow last year. He could be a slow starter for all we know. I don't know. Ask me that question in another month.
Okay.
We're still marathoning.
I'll write it down.
We're still marathoning. But everyone was just like, Broncos can win this division. And everyone saw the Chiefs being beatable. Who knew the Chargers would start 3-0 like this? You know, Courtland Sutton had a nice game. I mean, Dobbins scored a touchdown. He had a chip on his shoulder.
Dobbins looks good.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not there on the Broncos. Defensively, they're also looking pretty damn good too.
Bandwagon thinning out a little bit.
Maybe. We'll see if the Chargers will welcome the Broncos fans on their bandwagon, because that's the bandwagon to hop on.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Broncos right now, and again, Sean Payton knows that there's no banners for the we could be 3-0, but they could really be 3-0. And then we're talking about, hey, we were talking to everybody all summer. The bandwagon filled up. Everyone was right. And I don't know if this is, you know, when we're talking about the Raiders, if this is, again, fantasy related. Hell hath no fury than a fantasy owner scorned. And those who drafted Ashton Jeanty in the first round, and I'm one of them, might be sitting like I am right now, 0-3. Because you're seeing what O'Marion Hampton just did in Los Angeles, where it's like, hey, we can't just, with Najee Harris out, we can't just sit here and make sure that we're not running the wheels off of this guy. We got to ease him in. Screw it. Here's O'Marion Hampton. Oh, here's 229 scrimmage yards and a rushing touchdown. Well, by the way, against an offensive line that's banged up. Or with an offensive line that's banged up. He did it. Cam Scataboo in New York / New Jersey. See, I added that for you, Bills fans.
Running dudes over.
You know what I mean? And Ashton Jeanty, we're waiting. We're waiting. And again, this is potentially fantasy related because he did have 60-plus rush yards.
He had a couple nice runs.
And he had a couple nice runs. But when Geno Smith can't throw it, because the minute he fades back to pass, there's somebody in his lap. You need somebody to run it to take that pressure off. And the offensive line wasn't blocking for him either. There was a couple times he was wearing Von Miller or wearing Bobby Wagner instead of his uniform. But that's two losses in a row for the Raiders. And they've got a big one coming up against the Chicago Bears. Both teams 1-2. Both teams needing it. And this would be a good time for Jeanty to uncork a Scataboo,
yes,
or a Hampton-type performance from rookie running backs. Just to throw those names. And again, it's unfair that we're throwing it anywhere near in the direction of just one guy. It is a team game. Pete will tell you that. but like a 25 touch time for this kid to, because it would be helpful. You know, it would be massively helpful because the rest of it was working when Geno could throw. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm too far off on that front.
Geno's been racking up some yards and garbage time the last couple weeks, but.
You know, Trey Tucker, if you were going against him in fantasy, you lost. 145 yards and three receiving touchdowns.
I can't imagine anyone started Trey Tucker. He's probably sitting on your bench with three tutties.
Last Raiders player with three receiving touchdowns in a game, Michael Crabtree in 2017. There's your nugget for you. But the Commanders had five sacks. I mean, this is it. I mean, Geno's still throwing three touchdown passes. Don't say, at least he was hanging in there. But this thing, it didn't even look that close.
No. This game was over pretty early.
So, just 10 points and 178 total yards through the first three quarters. It was a fourth quarter, just like we got to keep winging it around and hoping for the best. And then we'll just say this about the Chiefs. That second half touchdown drive was the Rick Dalton gif.
Yeah.
To lead off the second half with a touchdown drive, and it's just terrible. 6-6. And there it was. Rick Dalton pointing at it. That was it. That was a touchdown drive right there. We're running it. We're throwing it. We're catching it. And Mahomes is on rhythm, and people are catching his passes, and we're not out of rhythm, and we're not dropping it. And then the defense takes over. Second half of that game, will we be looking back on it? And the answer is, who knows? And the short-term answer is, it was against the Giants. That Giants defense is no joke. And everyone's asking Patrick Mahomes, what'd you do at halftime? Because, again, it was the Rick Dalton gif moment. Collinsworth, who was talking about it on the game last night, so much so that my chief disliking son was going off so much on Collinsworth and the call, I had to FaceTime the only other person who could appreciate that. And who would that person be? That would be you, Christopher, right?
Who's got two thumbs.
Oh, okay. Cooper was doing his Collinsworth impersonation. It was great.
Let me tell you, Rich Eisen. I mean, this guy, Patrick Mahomes.
He's like playing in the backyard. And so, but Collinsworth was rightfully pointing out, like, that was it. That touchdown drive was their best one. I called him in Brazil. We watched him against Philadelphia. That was it. What'd you do at halftime, Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, we talked at halftime. I think more than anything, guys were just, we wanted to execute. You know, like, at the end of the day, it's all about execution in this league. And when you make one mistake, it can really hurt your drive. Defenses are good, and they do a good job of capitalizing on that. And so we had a couple drives early in the game that we drove down the field, and we pushed ourselves back and had to kick long field goals. And so for us, just executing all the way throughout a drive and seeing that, I mean, that's where we want to be, and we have to continue to do that more often.
See, you're just not, everybody just wants to hear, yeah, Andy Reid was peeling the paint off, man. He was peeling the paint off, and we came out, and Tyquan Thornton's starting to catch passes, and we're catching fire, and look out. But Thornton is in the role of Xavier Worthy. We're going to get Xavier Worthy back at some point. We're going to get Rashee Rice back at some point. And if this defense keeps doing what it is doing, which is just 56 points in their first three games, that's it. It's the second time Kansas City has allowed fewer than 60 points in the first three games of the Mahomes era, and they won a Super Bowl in the last time they did it in 2023. The issue is they've only scored 60.
Right.
That's it.
This is who they are now.
I got it.
They don't score more than three touchdowns.
Let's see what, again, that's your narrative now. When Xavier Worthy comes back and then Rashee Rice returns, then let's talk about it. I'd love to see more running. But Patrick Mahomes is perfect as a 30-year-old now. He's 1-0. Hey, this guy is a 30-year-old. He's just...
You know what, Mike? Let me just tell you. I watch Patrick Mahomes, and I'm just like, man, he threw a terrible pass, but then he recovered the fumble. You know how amazing that was?
That said, if he loaned us one of his 90 Emmys, we'd take it. there you go. Tyquan Thornton with back-to-back receiving touchdowns for the first time in his career. Rick Dalton, Jeff. Try and repeat it. Their next game is home against the Ravens.
Tyquan Thornton, this guy.
That's exactly what Cooper said, too.
Couldn't you catch Patriot a GD cold with the Patriots. Turns into Randy effing Moss with Patrick Mahomes. What are we doing?
I don't know. Sometimes you got to go somewhere else just to ask everybody who used to play for the Giants. Currently in Philadelphia and Indianapolis in particular.
Like I said, with that fortune cookie I got, sometimes a new environment makes all the difference in the world.
But the headline is the Los Angeles Chargers are 3-0 and they've beaten everyone in division to do it. And now they're off and running, heading to take on the 0-3 Giants. And that's exactly what the Chargers wanted to do to start the season. They have accomplished that mission, but you do not raise a banner on being 3-0. I get it. Let's take a break. Ethan Hawke is here. What a delightful conversation this is going to be. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Tapping into your home's equity shouldn't come at a high price. That's why we offer our home equity loan options. We cover 100% of closing costs, which could save you hundreds. And with our fixed equity loans, you can consolidate debt and lower your monthly payments. Plus, we have no application or origination fees. So if you want to get more out of your home base, learn more at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender. Membership required. Loans subject to approval. Call 1-888-842-6328 for details about credit costs. O'Reilly Auto Parts, and that jingle. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. I've been to O'Reilly Auto Parts over and over again, and I get exactly what I need. The parts and a friendly face. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, they can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. Of course, the importance of being helpful and having a friendly service face look right at you and say, we've got your back, we've got your car ready to go back on the road. It makes all the difference, doesn't it? The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto. Do it yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today, or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. What is it that makes the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid an incredible SUV? Is it the spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew? Or the capability to go off-road? Maybe it's up to 600-plus miles of range. Is it the driver behind the wheel? What if it's all of that and more? What is it then? The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603. Back on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're one big happy simulcast family. Ethan Hawke is here. We just saw a clip of FX's The Lowdown, which premieres tomorrow on FX, streaming the next day on Hulu. Here on the Rich Eisen Show. You are from the state of Texas originally, correct?
That's right, yeah.
All right, and so your sports teams are based in your childhood, or you've evolved as a human, or where are we right now?
There's evolution, and then there's de-evolution.
Okay.
I started my life as a diehard Cowboys fan. I mean, you have to understand, I was 12 years old when the Cowboys beat the Orange Crush, Denver Broncos, Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett won the Super Bowl, and I thought God loved me best. You know, I thought I was a winner. You know, and then here's the thing.
Yes.
Then the next year,
yes,
the Iron Curtain fell on the reign of the Dallas Cowboys,
yes,
Terry Bradshaw, and I was 13 years old, and I remember going out back the house and just weeping. It seemed like an unjust world. It was the first like awakening that, you know, that life just wasn't going to always go your way.
Sports is a excellent metaphor for that sort of stuff.
Since then, I have found that constant observation of athletics has more to teach you about the fundamental natures of mankind than Tolstoy does, okay? I mean, I enjoy watching people, you know, you can see through athletics when their own hangups get in their own way.
Sure.
You see the positive manifestations of excellence, and then you see people go mad with power. You see, it's all right there for you. And unlike the rest of life is so nuanced and gray, and the truth is multidimensional. But sports, you know, there's stats. I remember
I was about to say, wow, this Steelers Super Bowl win. It's really left a mark on you, sir.
My mother, you have to understand that my grandfather was a baseball manager. He was part owner, baseball manager, and lead sports writer he was the Abilene Blue Sox, right? And he was also lead sports writer for the Abilene paper.
I did not know this.
He covered his own games. And
which is Jerry Jones, I think.
So that was pretty fun. And he was, you know, the Abilene Blue Sox were one of the farm teams of the Brooklyn Dodgers. So he was one of the scouts hired by Branch Rickey to scout the Negro Leagues. And the pride of his life was...
Come on, did he find Jackie Robinson? Well,
he wasn't hard to find. Okay, right. But he was one of those scouts.
Sure.
That was part of breaking the color barrier and was the pride of his life. And it brought my whole family into an awareness of seeing sports as a positive a force in society.
Sure, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so my mother equates everything with sports. And I remember when Boyhood came out, she called me and she said, you know, a couple more hit movies and you could make the Hall of Fame. I was like, man, there is no Hall of Fame for us. You know? She's like, yeah, but if there was, I think you gotta make it past 50.
Well, I sometimes think sports, Ethan, is like Boyhood, the movie, like about the marking of time. You know what I mean? Like it is where you're following a team and at some point in your lifetime, they finally win, like a Cubs fan or a Red Sox fan, you know, back in the early aughts when it finally broke through. I'm a Michigan Wolverine. When we finally won, I'm thinking about the times when, you know, I was in college. I'm thinking about the times when I got out of college and they came close and didn't win. It really is kind of like that.
It is. It's so interesting that you say, because I moved to New York in the late 1989, you know, and I started being a Knicks fan. Mm-hmm. So I missed when the Knicks were champions.
Yes.
Right. But I came on with Patrick Ewing. Right.
And
I remember one of my good friends called me up when Pat Riley left New York and he was near tears. He's like, don't you understand? We're not going to get a championship banner until our kids are in their 20s. It was like, this is such a setback. It's like, we're about to lose a decade.
Yeah.
And he was right.
Well, and unfortunately, they're probably in their 30s now and you're still waiting. Ethan Hawke is here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Lowdown premieres tomorrow, 9 Eastern on FX and streaming the next day on Hulu. We have a game, Ethan,
like games.
It's called Celebrity True or False. We've got some facts about your career. We want to know if they're true or false. And we've got great production value to kick it off. Hit it, please.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
That's all we got.
That was good. I like it.
Celebrity true or false.
Jack Nicholson kicks you off.
Ethan Hawke, celebrity true or false. True or false, when filming first began on Dead Poets Society, you thought Robin Williams didn't like you. Is that true?
Well, that is true because my character was really shy and really insecure. And, you know, I'm 17, 18 years old, and I'm desperate to be like, I want to be a great actor, right?
Okay,
and
sure.
So I'm trying to get into character and I'm trying to imagine, you know, the reality of the situation. And my character would not find any of Mr. Keating's antics funny.
Mm-hmm.
He would be too nervous. He wouldn't enjoy it. So Robin, he's one of those people that he could sense anybody in the room. If you weren't laughing, all energy went to you until you were laughing. He'd make fun of you. And so the more he tried to make me laugh, it wasn't that I didn't find it hysterical. It was that I thought he was messing with me because I was trying to do a good job.
Yeah.
And so the more I would see if I laughed as a failure, you know, and it made him insane so that he was just mocking me constantly. But then I found, you know, then he helped me get an agent when the whole show was over.
Oh, so and then I, you found out that he did respect what you were attempting.
Yeah, and that felt really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got this call from, you know, it was like it was some agent's assistant, you know, said, we're here for Mike Mitchell. He's a talent representative for Robin Williams. And we've been told that you're a talented young man. We'd like to meet you.
Wow.
Okay, where?
Do you remember a line that Robin went off script with to try and make you laugh? That you didn't laugh at or what? Do you remember anything like that?
My favorite at the time was Carpe Per Diem, you know?
Okay.
Because, you know, we were all living in Delaware and, you know, and it was, we were staying in some low rent Marriott.
Yes.
Robin would make everybody laugh by what were they doing with their per diem. And then instead of Carpe Diem, he would say Carpe Per Diem. Can I have yours? You know,
and you didn't go for it, is what you're saying.
No, he was too funny to sit here and his brain works so fast.
Yes,
I mean, if Josh Charles or some of the other guys were here, I might get the memory block going.
Josh is one of our favorites here. I've known him forever.
He's a diehard sports fan.
He's a diehard Ravens fan. I mean, you know, tonight's the Monday night game. I'm sure he'll be.
Game.
He will. I'd be stunned if he's not going to be there with his boy Rocco and his whole family. But you and he what's the last thing you did with him?
Well, the last thing we did for Taylor Swift was doing a Fortnite video, and she wanted somehow. I guess she had the Tortured Poets Department was the name of her album, and it was kind of paying some secret homage that she understands to the Dead Poets Society. So she asked Josh and I to be in the video. And you would think, you know, everybody's a huge Taylor Swift fan, but Travis Kelce came on set and all Josh Charles wanted to do was fun. I didn't know what game he was talking about, but there was a bad call in a Ravens.
So when was it? Was it 2 years ago? Was it just last year?
Yeah, 18 months ago or something.
So then it might have been was it the opener? Or was it? Oh, was it, it had to be the AFC Championship game that they lost.
Yeah, yeah. And there was apparently a really. And he's bringing up this call. I'm like, Josh, let it go. And he's like, but seriously, didn't you think that was a bad call? I mean, you didn't think that was the right call. And Kelce's like, hey, listen, you know, you're a Ravens fan. You're gonna see it through those eyes. We just take what we can get. He's being super polite. You know,
Travis was.
Yeah, super respectful, really wonderful young man. And he's just trying to be classy. But Josh, like, no, admit it was a bad call. Admit it was a bad call. I can tell by the way you're not saying it's a. And it's like, Josh, get over it.
Wow.
Yeah, 17-10.
Was Taylor Swift witness to this whole thing?
Yeah, but, you know, Josh doesn't. All he cares about is the Ravens, you know.
Oh, that's diehard for you right there. All right. Next up, true or false? When you auditioned for Training Day, you almost told Denzel Washington off because he kept going off script on you.
Okay, that's an exaggeration. I would have to say that's false. I will say. What I didn't know is that Denzel was trying to get me the part, and there was a lot of pressure on the studio to hire somebody else.
Okay.
And he really wanted me to play that part, so I had to come in and screen test. And he was trying to show that I could play.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I prepped these three scenes, and Denzel came in. It's like, we were just improvising, and it was hard. I didn't almost tell him off.
Okay.
I mean, that's absurd.
Okay.
I almost burst out crying, thinking I failed. I'm not some radical tough guy. I didn't almost cry either. I don't like the way that sounds. but I mean to say, it was challenging situation.
Yes.
And I left the room thinking like I just walked into a moving propeller, you know. And then I got the part, and then I was like, oh, they like me. And then I went on to have one of the best experiences of my life.
Well, I mean, that makes sense on that front, because it's such a seminal movie on so many different ways. And what was your favorite scene you did with Denzel that sticks out, or any story about going off book with him there, or anything? You got something for me on Training Day?
In all seriousness, that experience changed my life. It's like, you know, we're on an athletic program here, and when you see, you know how like sometimes a player is struggling and they show talent and then they go to a team that has great culture and they thrive?
Mm-hmm.
When you watch excellence and how it's achieved, Antoine Foucault was a director, and he's a great director, and he gave me a lot of confidence and trust, and his relationship with Denzel was remarkable, and they showed me what excellence on a film set really looked like. I'd seen it as a kid on Dead Poets Society and stuff, but now I was 30 years old, and And I have, you know, you start to have more agency. When you're a young person, you're just kind of doing what people tell you to do and trying not to drown. But you don't unsee excellence at that level. You know, you watch how people tie their shoes. You watch how they think about showing up on time. You watch about how they treat hair and makeup. You watch all the details that go into being able to thrive on a set. So to say that there's one singular moment almost belittles the whole experience.
Understood. I get it.
Every day was, I was learning things about freedom, about relaxation, about what leadership looks like, what creativity, because a lot of times, like when you're in a artistic experience where there isn't any money at stake, everybody's creatively free, right? And then you get into a big Hollywood studio movie, and Denzel was still free. And he showed me that you create the environment that you're working in. You don't have to wait for people to create it for you. He created a positive working environment.
Well, hit that speech about King Kong and all that sort of stuff.
If I had to point, that speech was not scripted, and it was an unbelievable fireworks display on set. It was late in the shooting, and we had been doing drive arounds with police officers, and he had been learning and learning, and he had a, I don't want to speak on his behalf, it makes me uncomfortable, but his creativity and his depth of imagination of the way he was exploring that character, you know, it just exploded in that final monologue, which was, you know, pure vintage Denzel Washington.
But you're a fellow actor on a set knowing he's going off book here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking what as you're watching it?
Well, I was thinking that's what he was training me for at that screen test.
Huh.
Roll with it, baby. Roll with it. You know?
I love it. Ethan Hawke here. Next up for you. True or false, you gave the song Stay to Reality Bites director Ben Stiller, who used it in the film. And is that true or not?
That is totally true. And I'm a little proud of this because I, you know, don't Google this, but I was told this anyway, that is the first unsigned artist to ever go to number one in the history of rock and roll. Because Lisa wasn't even, she didn't even have a label. And I rapped Reality Bites and I went to some little...
Look at that picture.
Wow. that's me and my cat, Mardo. And Lisa was a part of my theater company. And I went to see her play after I finished Reality Bites. And she played this song, Stay. And I was like, this song is perfect for this movie I just finished. You got to record this song and give it to me. So she went home and recorded on a little, you know, little home four-track device. Uh-huh. And she sent it to me. And I mean, this is not in the email days, so this is easy. And I put a little envelope and I sent it to Ben. And Ben listened to it and he put it on the end credits, which is the prize spot for music and movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was perfect for it. And wow, I've never seen that photograph.
Are you serious? I don't know where we found it, but I mean, we're always digging.
Yeah.
We're always digging.
Look at that cat. I love that cat.
What was your cat's name again? Marlo?
Mardo.
Mardo.
Mardo. She was, that's the lead female character from Kerouac's Subterraneans. And I was in a, you can't tell by my hair and everything, I was in a big Kerouac fan.
Look at,
look
at that.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Last one for you, true or false. For decades now, you've been constantly mistaken for Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray.
Is that true or false?
For decades now gives this implication that it happens all the time.
Okay.
It does occasionally happen.
Okay.
And the thing about, you know, being a celebrity,
yes, sir.
Is a lot of people don't care who you are. They just care that they recognize. I could be Lee Harvey Oswald for all they matter. You know, they're just like, oh, you're famous. You're Kevin Bacon. You're Matt Dillon. You're, you know, Matt McGrath. You're, they, you know what I mean? It's like they just recognize you and don't know who you are. I mean, he's a cool dude. And by the way, you know, his music was crazy popular. They used to play one of his songs at the Knicks all the time. So I love that guy.
So maybe they come up to you and say, hey, great song. I have no idea.
If they do that, I just say, thank you.
Have you signed an autograph for somebody who's actually...
I've signed Kevin Bacon's name before.
Oh, Kevin Bacon.
That is amazing.
Because, that's good.
Because...
Kevin Bacon?
What happens to you is some sweet kid comes up to you and is like, Kevin Bacon, you're my favorite actor, and it means so much. And their hands are shaking. And so you don't want to say, I'm not Kevin Bacon. You know, right? But I want to tell you a funny story about that.
Sure.
I was living in Atlanta. I'm about 12 or 13 years old, and I'm going to see North Dallas 40. I should not be going to see another. I'm going to see North Dallas 40, and highly recommend, by the way. And you know who's in the movie theater? Fran Tarkenton. And I know it's Fran Tarkenton.
Okay.
And I go up to Fran Tarkenton. I'm like, Mike, you're Fran Tarkenton. And the guy's like, no, I'm not. Get away from me. and I'm watching how evasive he's being in the half. I'm like, no. And I go up to him, you are Fran Tarkenton. And he goes, get away. And I'm like, but that's Fran Tarkenton. And it was.
It was.
Fran Tarkenton was going to see North Dallas 40 in a movie theater in Atlanta. I don't know why.
Damn.
But I normally he's got money on it.
Normally he's got escapability on his own as opposed to telling you to leave. Normally yeah, he's got a quick first step.
I think about it every now and then when a kid annoys me or something like that when I'm walking to the airport. Because I'm like, one part of me thinks, well, don't treat this young man the way Fran treated you. And then another part of me thinks, well, if Fran did it, I can do it too.
He's in the Hall of Fame.
He's in the Hall of Fame. And listen, sometimes it's annoying.
Right. Okay. Dude, what a pleasure having you on. I could go on and on with you, please come back. I don't know if you're
you got a great next show. Thing, I appreciate thanks, being on
yeah,
here.
Yeah, and the Black Amazing. Phone 2 is in theaters on October 17th.
That's right.
You're in this film with Margaret Qualley, who's as red hot as they come. Bobby Cannavale is a favorite of ours.
Oh, he's, you know, it's so funny you say, you know, right before I went on, I was texting Bobby Cannavale and Josh Charles. Uh-huh. Said, I'm going on your show. Come on, tell me something. What should I say? And they're like, you know, Josh says, tell them the Ravens are going to win tonight.
That's it. That's a good one. Yeah.
And Bobby said, you'll do fine. Just
because he doesn't want to talk about the Jets.
Yeah, oh, that's that was so, that was epic. That was an epic failure last night.
But Bobby could have given you that script before the game.
Oh, he could have. Yeah, and he would have predicted it.
Oh my God. You know, Bobby's one of our favorites. And again, that's in theaters in Los Angeles and New York on October 17th, nationwide on the 24th of October. And please check out The Lowdown tomorrow at 9 Eastern on FX, streaming the next day on Hulu. Thanks again for coming on, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Amazing. Amazing.
On the program, back to finish up with your phone calls and more here on The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, presented by Progressive Insurance. Nick Bosa is out for the year. Remember, I don't know if anybody saw. If anybody saw the game, wasn't on much of the country. Cardinals at Niners. Bosa was looking at somebody in the crowd when he was coming off the field, and he gave a thumbs down sign.
Thumbs down.
He knew something was up, and now it's season-ending surgery. Oh my God!
Brutal.
I mean,
brutal.
They need a seance there in Santa Clara, right? Purdy and Kittle and Ayuk's now out, you know, it's not coming back yet for another month, apparently. And
Juwan Jennings didn't play over the weekend.
They're probably like, but they're 3-0. Next man up at some point is going to be like somebody on a practice squad. Take someone off of Hayton Ashbury. Can you play football?
Looks like Purdy was close to playing this week. He might be back.
Let's hope. That is a massive blow and unfortunate for the San Francisco 49ers. Brian Daboll, moments ago, was asked again last night, what about Russ? What about Jackson Dart? And he's just like, you guys keep asking me right after games. I'm not going to answer right after games. So now, I guess they were like, what about today?
Russ remains the starter moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we're working through, you know, all personnel decisions, and we'll do that over the next few days.
Hold on, so you're not saying Russ is the starter, right? You're saying you're still working through that?
Yeah, we're doing what we normally do, which is, you know, watch the tape. We're just watching it with the players right now. So, you know, we'll have staff meetings after this, but we watch the tape, offense, defense, kicking game as a staff, and then we go meet with the players. That's where we're at right now.
What do you say? What you normally do? I don't. Most Monday afternoons, you know who your quarterback's gonna be the upcoming week if everyone's healthy. Though it just seems a little different. Your responses.
Yeah. Well, look, we're going through the tape right now. We're evaluating everything.
So quarterback change is on the table.
I'd say we're evaluating everything.
Oh wow! Oh, wow. Just keep chipping away.
Great follow-ups by whoever that was.
Yeah. Let me say this to you. There's one. Screw it. There's one thing I feel as certain about anything.
Is that Russell Wilson starting against the Chargers?
100%.
Did that sound like a committed Brian Daboll to Russell Wilson right there?
There are fan bases howling at the gates. And I understand he's not going to say that Russ. I mean, I don't know. And he's trying to create some sort of sense of competition. Last time he did this, Russ threw for 450 yards. I don't know. But you're not holding Jackson Dart back because he's not ready. And, you know, Thomas did return and play 25 snaps. You definitely don't want to put the kid back there until your left tackle's fully able to, like, to play and not sitting out at the end of the second quarter and then for your second half because he's on a snap count. And you're certainly not going to put him in against a defense that is marauding. That is, the Chargers are the last team you want to do it against. You want to do it against anybody and then go with the flow and roll the dice. It is what it is after that. You do it against the New Orleans Saints a week later. That would stun me if they're like, you know what, Andrew Thomas isn't ready to play a full game yet, and yeah, let's roll him out against the Chargers. I would be stunned if that happens, but you never know.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Yo, this is important, man. My favorite Lululemon shorts, the ones you got me back in the day, I think they're called Pace Breakers, the ones with all the pockets. I just got back from vacation, and I left them in my hotel room. And dude, I need to replace these shorts. I wear them like 3 times a week. Could you send me the link to where you got them? Oh, also, my birthday's coming up soon, so... Anyways, thanks, bro. Talk soon.
Looking for your newest go-tos? Lululemon What's New Gear drops on Tuesdays, every Tuesday. Head to lululemon.com to shop What's New Gear.